1 Timothy 6:11. It says, but you men of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness. What are you supposed to be pursuing? Not ungodliness, Sister Brown. You handled that thing perfect. Godliness. Don't kill your witness. They know you saved. Don't kill your, tell somebody, say, don't kill your witness. All them stickers you be having, all them Bible verses you be quoting. And then when the heat is on, that used to be a song. When the heat is on, you crumble like a cookie. Say, not me. Faith. And then he say, love. Got to have some endurance. Right? The race, they combine two scriptures, but you'll get it. The race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but to who? The person that endureth. He says, and gentleness. Then he say, fight the good fight of faith. Say, fight the good fight of faith. That's what you're doing every day, whether you know it or not. Every day you're getting up, you're fighting a good, you're supposed to be fighting it. You're fighting, but is it a good fight of faith? Now, if you ain't no threat to the enemy, you probably going through nothing ever. Take hold of eternal life. Now, let me back up. When I say that, I don't say that to throw shade at nobody. I'm simply saying that I won't say that. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you call, which you were made. You made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything. Dead situations, hard situations. He gives life to everything. And of Jesus Christ, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of Jesus Christ. Are you preparing for death? Anybody preparing for it? You should be. What are you willing to do to get to that point? To where you leave this place in your presence with God. You got to fight the good fight of faith to get there. That's why he's talking about laying hold of eternal life. When you get it, you got to keep it. You got to hold it. You got to possess it until it's your time to check up out of here. But you got to get ready. We all got to get ready. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ask for utterance of the anointing. You to do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can sit down. So it's interesting. We ended with my dear sister over there. Guess what my title is? Wrong. My title is Soldier Up. Girl. You tough enough to make it. That's my title. Soldier up. Everybody don't like to be the, everybody come in the military for different reasons. Right? The end is that they expect you to be the soldier. They expect you to come in early, stay late. They expect you to be corrected, chastised, falsely accused. They expect you to be all that. It's different now because this is one of the first things that I learned when I came into the military. No matter what happened, no matter what I meant to do, if it didn't turn out favorable, it's my fault. So we would say things like, you didn't tell nobody your car broke down. They say, Woodson, why are you late for work? No excuse, Sergeant. Am I lying? You don't get to tell me your car broke down. Me don't care if your car broke down. Why aren't you in the right uniform? You don't tell them, my squad leader didn't inform me. No excuse, Sergeant. Boy, you better get what I'm saying. You don't get to tell somebody anything. You know, my wife lost the car keys last night. Well, what was the response? No excuse. You're supposed to have counseling done. They didn't have computers. You did it on paper. The dog ate my stuff that my dog urinated on my. No. It's just no excuse. Now, what that does for you is that it starts to make you think outside the box. It starts making you tough. I remember being so cold. Oh my God. I had raggedy boots. Like I'm Kamo, I had to be out there all the time. They go through the gunnery. I'm out there from the time they hit. It doesn't matter that I went to bed 3 hours later than everybody else. I got to get up when they get up. And then when they go to bed, I'm still up. And it'd be so cold. Oh, my God. I think I got chilblain. That's the step before frostbite. And you don't get to tell nobody, you know. If you get frostbite, they want to ask you a whole bunch of questions. Whose fault is it? It don't matter whose fault it is. The response is no excuse. Now, what that does is that it makes you tough. It makes you able to stand up under stuff. Take me down just a little bit, sir. It makes you willing to endure things. And so I say soldier up because a lot of Christians are wondering why the Christian life isn't easy. Anybody ever asked that question besides me? Liars. Anybody ever asked that question besides me? Why is this? Yeah. You said stuff like, what is happening to me? I've been praying, I've been reading, like they got a rap. I've been praying, I've been reading, I've been fasting, I've been shouting. Why this happened to me? Because you're a Christian. Look at somebody say, soldier up. You're a soldier in the army of what? I'm a soldier what? I'm a soldier what? So you're tougher than you think you are. You're not regular. Say, I'm not regular. A lot of people think they soldiers, but they ain't no soldier. Right? A lot of civilians think they soldiers until they had to do what a soldier do. And then they realize they ain't no soldier. You are a special breed. So the truth is, why are you going through things? Number one, because you're in the last days. Or we coming into the last days. You're in the last days, or you're coming into the end of the last days. And it's going to be difficult. It's going to be really difficult. And Jesus answered this question. And we're going to go to Matthew here in a minute. But Jesus answered that question. You're going to go through things because of the time that you was born in. I came in the military. My first deployment, I went with people who had never been deployed one time. And they had 20 years in. 22 years in. I ain't mad at them. That don't mean they don't know their job, because that's what people say. They don't know what they talking about, because they ain't never been to combat. How many people in the church do that? You can't tell me what to do because you ain't never been through what I've been through. Look this way, please. I hope your phone lock up. You can't tell me because if I'm the pastor, I can't minister to you if your mom or dad die, if mine alive. That's what people say. You can't tell me. Deaconess Avery can't tell you nothing about marriage or going through divorce, because you still got your man. How silly is that? But what they can, he's trying to tell you, life is becoming more difficult. Christian walk are becoming more difficult. Somebody tell me why it's becoming more difficult. I told you somewhat, because you're entering into the last stretch, Minister Evans. Everybody ain't going to make it. Some people are going to just flat out give up. That's why he said, he who endures to the end will be saved. That would tell you there are going to be people who start, and they're not going to finish. Jesus had more than 12 disciples. He had a bunch of them. And then he started telling them about, you gotta eat my body and drink my blood. Tear down this, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm gonna raise it back up. They had no revelation of him. They had no revelation of the scriptures. They had no revelation of what he was talking about when he meant the body or the blood. They had no idea. And so many of them walked away from Jesus. How many people have walked away since you've been in this church? Since you got here? A lot. And they'll say, co-pastor, Evangelist Dugan, Sister Brown did this. They lying. What should they be saying? I'm leaving, but I ain't got no excuse. No excuse. Shout out, I'm a soldier up. You tougher than what, you spiritually stronger than what you think. I say you spiritually stronger than what you think. If you really born again, you, the reason why you think you're weak or you're not strong enough, because for some of you, this is really the first time you've been tested in that area. So you don't really realize that your training, the things that you have been taught and the things that you have learned, you've never had to employ them. You've never had to do them. This is the season where you're going to have to start doing some stuff. Tell somebody, it's not your imagination. It really is getting tougher. I've never seen, you can go to any corner and you can be minding your own business and be tempted with sin. You ain't even got to be looking for no woman. They'll come to you, and they bold. You ain't even got to be looking for no man. You could be happily married. And they'll come at you every day. But if you don't realize you're strong in that area, you'll give in to your weakness. You don't realize that you are being attacked a lot in your dreams. It don't mean that you in sin. It don't even mean that the devil got an advantage in your life. You're being warned because he's trying to wear you down in some area. But you're tougher than what you think. You're spiritually tougher than what you think. This fear that's gripping people. People won't move out in their purpose. They won't move out in their calling. They won't do anything. They won't go after natural things. They won't go after degrees, house, nothing. So shout, soldier up. So the only way you're going to survive, this is my point, in this last day, you got to be Christ-focused. There got to be Christ-focused living, meaning that you're going to struggle if you don't acknowledge that you got sin and deal with it, it's going to deal with you. The same serpent that began in Genesis as a serpent ends up in the book of Revelation because he was never dealt with as a dragon. If you don't deal with it as a serpent, you're going to deal with it as a dragon. So we don't want to acknowledge that we got things we could come up in. You got to have Christ-focused living. You got to know that fasting ain't punishment. You got to know that reading your Bible, you ain't doing God no favor because you're reading your Bible. He know who he is. You need to know who he is. When you regurgitating a promise back to God, India, that he promised to do for you, it ain't like God said, wait a minute, I forgot I said that. No, he didn't forget he told you what he was going to do. You need to know what he said he going to do. You need to know what's supposed to be happening in these hours and how the things are going to come up against you and the evil and the stuff you see in the world. It ain't, and you're going to see sons, you already see it, sons against fathers, mothers against daughters. You're going to see all this kind of stuff happening. Why are we surprised? Say you're tougher than you think. So your life is becoming difficult. Some of you, because you've been faithful to the God. Some of you, your stuff ain't because you in some sin. It's because you being faithful. Some of you, your life is difficult because the devil is always present. He's persistent, rather. He ain't always present, but he's persistent. And we'll forget about things where we come from. And we'll sometimes just at least dabble in areas where we know we don't have no, but we know we just two steps away from this. And we'll be talking about, that's my family, that's my family, that's my queen, that's my homegirl, homeboy. And the whole time, they just pulling you right back in the junk. You ain't got no business over there. You know what slow music do for you. You know they used to call it something else when I was growing up, but you know you can't be this, because it'll take you back. And then you'll go on the hunt. Amen. Oh my. You can't watch certain movies. You can't listen to, I don't even understand how people worship God and listen to secular music and rap music and that stuff. And I don't even know how they do it. I ain't saying you can't separate it. I'm just simply saying I've been doing this a long time. I ain't never been able to separate it. Matter of fact, I ain't never really seen nobody be able to separate it. Bobby Boo Bland from the Brown Boys. Brown Boys ain't no rap group. They sing gospel. Y'all think of Bobby Brown. No. That's the Brown Boys. But you ain't even been separated. And you tell them this stuff gonna set you back. I had somebody ask me, what do you think? What does the Bible say about drinking wine? Well, it does mention drinking wine, but you are drunk. And it wasn't fermented, meaning that it didn't have alcohol and this junk in it to make you drunk and kill your liver and all this other stuff. It was really like medicine. It wasn't even fermented. But almost everything I've seen got alcohol in it. Some of it's strong enough to run your car. And you putting it in your body. Okay, the devil is everywhere. I'm just talking about y'all stuff. I ain't even mentioned my stuff yet. And I ain't gonna mention it because I'm the one teaching the preacher. Life is difficult because, watch this, the spirit in this world hates you. They hate me. That's why when a person identifies to me that they don't like me, I don't go out of my way to try to befriend them. Because they my friend of me. When a person communicate, when I can sense that they don't have me in their heart, I don't go out of my way until they get Jesus in their heart. Because they will, I done lived a minute. So what am I saying to you? You can't cave under pressure right now. Tell somebody, don't cave under pressure. Tell them again, they didn't hear, say, don't cave under pressure. You really cannot be stopped right now. You in the army of the Lord. If you've been doing the spiritual exercises that this church been putting out, you are getting stronger. Anybody in here getting stronger? I feel like you're getting stronger. From when we was dealing with sin all the way up to now and things we done reset back to, you should be getting stronger. You should be happier more. You shouldn't be down this much. You should be coming up emotionally. Your heart, your marriage and stuff should be ironing out. You should be doing better if you've been doing your exercises. If you've been coming to spiritual PT, getting up in the morning, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, you're getting your endurance. You can go a little bit longer. Before, you couldn't go 3 seconds. You couldn't even, to cut the prayer on in the morning, you was exhausted. But now you can go all the way to the end and you be praying, say, I'm coming on up. Don't cave under pressure. The greater one lives in you. Nothing the devil can really do to you unless you quit. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's nothing he can really do. Like, I don't understand why people just, every time they under attack, they just come unglued. I just have no idea how. I guess I can't really relate to it because I'm a soldier, naturally and spiritually. So I just know some things, you know, you don't always get what you need to work with. You got to sometimes work with what you got. And then you have to, by faith, make it work. You gotta make it work because people are counting on you. The greater one lives in you. Don't cave under pressure. Some of you out the storm. Right? You're just a couple steps really out of it. Don't cave right there. You cannot last whatever you're going through. Say, I can get through this. Go to Matthew. I want to go to 21 maybe. Let me see. I didn't write it down. Matthew 21, I believe. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is actually, where am I trying to go? He's dealing with them on the Mount of Olives. And what Jesus is doing, he is, let's read it. I'm going to read verse number 3. You can't be spiritually dependent in this hour too much on anybody. And we all need somebody. But you can't be in the military, in the regular military, you're not really dependent on your whole company per se, for like intimate things. What do they expect you to have? A battle buddy. So the whole company, when you, they don't all the time, sometimes they do. If the situation is right on a run and they coming back to get you, I don't even think they run no more, the formation. But at one point they would run as a group and people would fall out to run and then they go far up and then the whole company would come back and pick you up and the whole time people encouraging you. Well, they don't really do that no more. They give you a battle buddy. So the battle buddy's job is to ensure that you are squared away. We check each other. We make sure we got the right equipment. We make sure we at the right place. We make sure we're in the right uniform. But if the contrast to that, if you're in the church and you want to be a lone ranger, you know, don't complain when you're in a fight and you got to fight by yourself. But the battle buddy's job is to encourage you. You can make it. You can do this. Go ahead without me. I'm not going to leave without you. So they come up with a phrase, no man left behind. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm not going to leave you behind. Meaning that I'm going to make sure that you in the right place at the right time with the right equipment. I'm going to check on you. So Jesus is at this place. And he's telling the disciples, he says, what things shall be? What shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. The first thing Jesus said is that take heed that no man deceive you. Do you know what the problem with this whole thing is? And it is true based off what he said. But what the devil is doing to people, he's making you be suspect of only the pulpit. And you could be sitting by a devil, driving with a devil, sleeping with a devil, working with a devil, but the only person you question is the preacher. And they'll be deceiving you. That church, that man, and they didn't bring their bald head self to come check on you when you was in sleep. No, you called the preacher. I didn't really mean to say that. When you was broke, they didn't give you no money. When you was hungry, they didn't give you no food. When you was broke, they avoided you. When you was depressed, they didn't even want to talk to you. That's a fair-weathered friend. And they're deceptive. The same people who be talking about you, talking about your man to you, is the same one who wants you to let him go. The same person who make you question everything in the church is the same one that wants you leave that church. Y'all both gonna leave the church and they're gonna trap you back into some mess. So you have to, the only person that they tell you to be the question is the preacher. But you listen to Shaquita them more. You sleep most of the time in church. You on Facebook in church because you up on a demonic attack and you're not in your right mind. You like the person at the Gnosis, at the tomb. Say, not me. But the only person you question is the preacher. The one, say, move on, preacher. You meddling. He said, for many shall come in my name. Many people could come in my name, say, I'm Christ. Not really Christ. Christian. Many people going to say they Christian. But they not Christian. They might be Crisco or Cisco, but not Christian. Not Christian. Their behavior is not consistent with a born again person. Well, I just need to be delivered. You know, I heard somebody explain as well. They said that, and I said, man, I do that. But they said, when you do an altar call, don't ask an unbeliever to come and give their life to Christ. They full of sin. They don't have nothing to offer him. Don't ask them to give their life to Christ. He don't want that life. That life is dead. It's full of sin. What we should be doing is what? Asking people to invite Christ into your heart. So he can bring life into there. But what we've done, we've tried to come and give him our life. He don't want your life. You don't have nothing to offer him yet. You ask him to come into your heart. And then you're alive. And then he'll receive you as he'll become your Lord. Then you can offer him your life. But what's happening is people have never given him their life. Inviting him into their heart, they're trying to give him their life, meaning that they won't even consider they need change. They'll say, take me as I am. He said, well, let me in your heart. Take me as I am. I don't want you as you are. Let me come into your heart first, and then I'll engraft you into me. I'll engraft you into my life, this precious life, this living life. I'll give you this life. But we're trying to throw ourselves on him without change, and you can't change until he comes into your heart. Do you see the revelation of a difference? Do you see the revelation of a difference? So when we're talking about, he says, many shall come saying, I'm Christ, shall deceive many people. You're going to hear wars, rumors of wars. What do he say? Don't be troubled. Tell somebody, say, soldier up. They paying you to fight. They paying you to run through bullets. They paying you to avoid mines. They paying you. You signed up for this. You gave them. You put on a contract. You came in agreement with them. They're paying you to do this. They expect you to do this. When you come to Christ, he expects us to expect some level of suffering sometime. You wouldn't know him in certain ways if you never went through anything. You wouldn't know that he could heal. You wouldn't know him as a deliverer. You wouldn't even know him as a savior. You wouldn't know that you could be free from some sexual perversion or some alcohol or some abuse, because you got some abusive men and women these days. Men with their hand and women more so with their mouth, but they are abusive. Tell somebody, say, soldier up. You can do this. You said it with no conviction. Say, soldier up. You can do this. Any questions or comments? No. Let's keep going. He said, for these things must come to pass, but what did he say? The end ain't near. All this stuff going to happen. He said the end's still in here. And then he says, there's going to be false prophets going to rise. Everybody want to be a prophet. My God. They want to be a prophet. And their husband be in the other room, be calling them, babe, 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 babe. She's sitting right there. She still ain't sitting there. Babe, babe. Meaning that some of you can't even hear your spouse in the next room and you think you can hear heaven. Everybody won't be a prophet. Deceive many. And then he said, because iniquity, sin in people's heart abounds, people's love, he said, gonna wax cold. But the person that shall endure to the end, the person who living right, that person gonna be saved. So what do we do in difficult times? Endure. Remain committed to God. Say that three times. Remain your story. I ain't mean to interrupt y'all. Your story ain't unique. Do you know the same story people here complaining about somebody in this church right now that won at it? Same cards. Same sickness, same divorce, same singlehood, same economic status, and they won. Say, soldier up. You can win too. If you, what you don't want when you're in combat, what do you don't want? Some of y'all ain't never been, but what you don't want to have as a battle buddy is a person that you have to carry all the time. What did he say? Nobody wants to carry another person all the time. We know you're going to go down sometime, but nobody can theoretically carry their weight and another person's weight all the time. Shout soldier up three times. You can do this. Yeah, you can do this. So Jesus answered two questions. He did not answer them whether when they asked when the end was going to come, and then they asked what was going to be the signs. He did not tell them. What he did tell them was this. Time's going to be tough. You read the rest of it. What he did tell them, time's going to be tough sometimes. Now, if you stay hooked with God, you're going to be all right because he the comforter. So you can be going through tough times with the comforter and it don't seem tough to you. Who's the comforter? The Holy Ghost. Who's the comforter? So you in a season where the Holy Spirit is not only in the earth, if you're born again, he in you. Robert Shirley used to always say something. We used to watch him every Sunday morning because we didn't hardly ever go to church. But he used to always end with this. He'd say, tough times never last. Tough people do. Tough times never last. Tough people do. Tough times never last. Tough people do. Say, soldier up. You can make it. Whatever the devil doing to you, you're going to come out all right. I don't care what he's saying. I don't care what he's doing. But he told us, Jesus told us, he said, false prophets, false teachers. Then he started talking about in verse 9-11, this callousness of people's heart. And then he said, it's many people were going to be led astray. I figured out you can't really be deceived unless you want to be. If you're born again, you can only be deceived if you want to be. The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Will let you know when stuff is off. Should you believe what somebody is saying, Jasmine, just because you can't prove what they're saying is not true? Should you believe them? What if they convince them? No, the Holy Spirit will be telling you this is off. He may not tell you everything, but he'll tell you enough to where you don't have to be deceived. You don't have to be, we don't say deceived. We say stuff like you don't have to be played. Anybody ever been played? Let me see the hands of all the players. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Tell off on yourself. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Yeah. All these players up in here. Mm-hmm. So watch this. When you was played, were there ever times where you knew stuff was off, but you couldn't prove it? Yeah. You just couldn't prove it, but you knew it was off. I want to say this. I ain't going to say it. So callousness is about spiritual insensitivity. Are we seeing a lot of insensitivity in the world? All them people walk by you today. I mean, you didn't have to go nowhere. All you had to do was be paying attention when doing testimony service. All kind of people walk right past them. Because this world is so insensitive. Jasmine, people do it in church. Well, why didn't you say something? I didn't know what to say. You don't need to know what to say. He say, I'll tell you what to say in that hour. All I needed you to do was walk over there. Put your arm around him. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know if they need the money. He said, and all you got in your wallet is 150. Cause that's all you carry. You don't nobody carry. I know you got a grip, but he told you to just walk over there, take it out and put it in their hand. Now what will we do? We'll walk over there. Yeah, we might give them a handshake. We got the money and we'll walk over there and say, do you need any money? Do you see the difference? No, they just was prophesying. And word of knowledge and word of wisdom and preacher. But the fact that he just told you to get the 150 and give it to her. He did not say, ask her if she needed 150. Say spiritual insensitivity. We're not sensitive to the spirit enough to be obedient to the spirit when it counts. He didn't ask you all that. He told you exactly what to do. Sister Harvey having a hard day today. Sister Brian, I want you to call her. No, she texts you. You see what I'm saying? See, the more you don't do what God says, your heart gets hard. Like, I mean, I don't look like a soldier now because I go get manicures. But my hands used to be not as hard as Minister Evans's, though. His hands be hard as, what I tell you, woodpecker lips. But I had calluses all on my hands. I wouldn't cut them off. I got a soldier in some of the most intense climates, and I need that to protect me. See, callousness was really designed by God. The devil perverted it. The callousness that God wanted on people was for us to be able to use to block stuff from getting in. Negative stuff from getting in. But we use it to keep him from ministering to us. So I needed that, but people are callous, they're insensitive. We don't want that in this church, amen? Can we do something about it? What can we do about it? Be obedient to God. Be sensitive to the word and, come on, anybody else? And showing love to people. This is what's making people so hard. That people will walk past you and you could be literally dying. And they won't say nothing. They won't stop. You can be in a store. You can see distress on a person. And rather than minister to them, Sister Palmer, y'all call me. You right there 5 feet away from them. You call co-pastor. And you 3 steps away from them. And got the whole time, God is telling us, hey, minister to him. Minister to him. Love up on him. Love is ministry. When you loving up on somebody, you are ministering to them. And they don't ask you how many scriptures you know. They're saying, they're communicating rather, they are hurting. They're in distress. They are broke. Does it matter if a man is a crackhead on the side of the street and he is cold and he is hungry? God didn't ask you to detox him. He said, give him enough money to get him a sandwich. You got $20 up in, and you can't go up and get no sandwich and not get no drink. You got to have the fries. So the sandwich is $9. They got taxes. And you're going to give $2 for them to get a sandwich. When the last time you bought a sandwich for $2? He ain't got no business out here. God didn't have no business blessing you because you weren't going to help nobody. They should have been better stewards of their money. How many times have you blown your money and your check still hit on the 1st and the 15th? And you've been late every day. You had an appointment every single day. Say soldier up. Soldiers demonstrate love whether they think so or not. You go into countries to deliver or extract or do whatever you do. They always package it like it's help. So the soldier goes not really knowing almost none of the details, but they are doing it because they feel like they're helping somebody. Say, love always helps. It doesn't hurt. Love always finds a way to help somebody. Ask your neighbor, are you a helper? Say, I purpose to show love to you. All right, they heard you. Somebody tell me some ways you can tell when your heart is hardening. Anybody ever had, if you just tell the truth, if you ever found yourself hard towards a person or a situation or a church or a community, what kind of led, you ain't got to tell all the details, but what kind of led you into that? What was it? Somebody else's hearts. I can tell how you treat each other. So I can tell how you respond to me, how you respond to co-pastor. So you got a story to tell. Go ahead, ma'am. You can't talk.
Offense.
Offense. People offending you. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Not taking accountability.
Amen. Not taking accountability. Anybody else? What led you to it?
You said earlier, if they don't want to be your friend, I just treat you like you're nobody.
Yeah.
I'll shake your hand, but frenemies, it's a real thing.
Yeah. I'll tell you some of the things that, anybody else? Go ahead, Adventures Dugan. Jasmine, after Adventures Dugan.
Baggage from the past, thinking it resembled something somebody did before.
No, that's good. Somebody, Jasmine, then I think Sister Diana.
Putting all the blame on one person and not being honest.
Amen. Blaming.
Jealousy and pride.
That's the one I was going to say. Go ahead, Sister Brown. Okay. Pride. Do you know the thing about pride is not being proud? Do you know what I've learned by living in pride? Is sometimes, a lot of times, you don't even really know you in pride. But when people consistently point it out and you deny it, they told you and you still denied it. Pride would even consider that all of them was right. Pride can make you hard because pride sometimes only wants its way. It won't consider no other way. It's my way or the highway. How can a person say that they love you and they tell you, it's my way or the highway, meaning I don't love you enough to compromise with you. My way, highway. Now, here's the thing about broken relationships. There's no way. There are some things that the truth of it is. Let me just say it like this. If a person is easily willing to let you go in a relationship, there's no way love, your love ever penetrated their heart in depth. There's no way. Let's work it out. They don't want to work it out. Let's get counsel. I don't want no counsel. I just want to go. All I did was put the toilet tissue on the wrong side you didn't like. We breaking up over toilet tissue? Huh? All I couldn't do was perform as a wife. I just got out of surgery a month ago with my body here. I've been depressed. If a person is depressed, there's a portion of them that's suppressed, not by permission. So they can't give that to you, but you can't even stay long enough to love them back to health. Because pride is a silent killer. How do you know your heart getting hard? You no longer believe the best. Pessimistic people have hard hearts. Consistently negative people have hard hearts. Why? They have allowed what happened to them to callous and make their spirit insensitive. And they don't know how to move on. They don't know how to even love past hurt, meaning that you can ask them to forgive you and they will say it verbally, but they never, your spirits never reconnect. But you and your question, you're the one asking, why won't my spirit connect to his no more? He said, Pastor said he forgave me, but my spirit don't connect to his no more. Look this way. Why won't my spirit connect with his no more? Because that would mean I'm holding a grudge against you. They're holding a grudge against you. Say, God, break up the fallow ground. Make my heart sensitive to you, to people, to the world, that I can love people like you love me, that I can love people like you love me. Before you, I loved you, you loved me. See, because we got the you go first mentality. I wonder how many people is still sleeping in a bed in the basement or in some opposite room with their spouse because you're waiting on them to go first. They might have did something crazy, but you hold a grudge. So that would make both of y'all theoretically be in sin. Somebody got to go first. And since I can't control another person, my job is to ensure that my heart don't get cold and calloused. That I don't become numb to people, to culture, to church. Some people, you know, they numb. They just is whatever. Because they got something in their heart. And they be like, no, I'm good. No, you ain't good. I'm looking at you. I know you ain't good. But shout, you gonna be good. They no longer believe the best about life. God is a good God. Everything about God is good. And when God start dealing with you, it's because God is trying to be good to you. Even if God starts off correcting, it's only because he's trying to be good. But oftentimes God will be good sometime before he even correct to say, because what he knows is that sometimes the goodness of the Lord will lead a person to repentance. So while you waiting for the person to make up to you, if you will start being good, your goodness could lead them to repentance. Say, help us, Holy Ghost. Your heart is getting hard when you say, I don't care. I don't care no more. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care. I don't care what pastors think. I don't even care what God thinks. And you don't think that people say that? Child, please. It's an I don't care mentality. If it work out, good. If it don't, oh, I don't care. How do you know God care? The devil is trying to strip some of you of your forward moving faith in God. Shout, I've come this far by faith. Shout, I come this far by faith. You gotta, and faith gonna lead you on. You have to believe the best even when you're standing in the worst. You gotta be optimistic about life and the can do God. That even if I'm in a bad jam, I'm never gonna really criticize. I put my junk off on other people, and I'm not gonna criticize God for not coming as quick as I want to do. I'm not gonna criticize him for not coming as quick as I want him to. What am I saying? He may not come when I want him, but he always on time. Whatever God show up, he done evaluated a whole lot. Your mind is right. Your heart is right. The conditions are right. It's going to make sense for the other person or the church or whatever. When God come through, he come to put everything in order. But sometimes he waiting on us to just give him permission to do it. Say, God want to do it 3 times. God want to do it. He want to do it. God want to do it. There are going to be seasons that your faith is going to be challenged. Some of you are coming out of it now. Some of you are completely out. I can tell because you've been different. Amen. Some of you, you have been totally different. Your spirit has been lighter. Some of you, you still in, you close. And then some of you, you barely move the needle because you resist everything that's ever preached from up here. But some of you, you right there, you can say, I can survive this. Tell somebody, soldier up. You're going to have some challenges. You got to keep rejoicing. You got to keep praising God. You can't be looking at, it don't bother me, but you know, some of them preachers come up in here sometime and y'all be giving them the business because y'all be looking so crazy. Some of it, I tell them, they just crazy. Okay. But, it don't bother me, but you have to know when you in these places, you got to keep rejoicing. Shout, keep rejoicing. You got to keep praising God because why? Does praise really confuse the enemy? It really does. Praise really confuses the enemy. And this is how, watch this, go to Micah 7. This is how you stop the devil from gloating over you. You ever seen the picture of Muhammad Ali where he knocked out y'all, so y'all wasn't even born. I don't even think I was, well, maybe. But he's standing over Sonny Liston. He knocks out Sonny Liston, this big old guy. Now he's standing, he got his glove like this, like he's standing over him. He's gloating. He's gloating. He knocked the man down. He ain't out yet, but he almost out. He out. He's down. He wasn't supposed to win. He's standing over him and he's gloating. That's what the devil is doing to some of you. He's standing over you. He knocked you down. He hasn't knocked you out and you won't even attempt to get up. You're going to let him sit there and keep gloating over you. You're going to let him keep flexing over you. How do you say flexing? They call it flexing. You're going to let him stand over you and keep flexing over you. Tell somebody, say, get up. Say, soldier up and get up. Micah says this in Micah 7, and I believe it's verse number 8. Micah says, don't gloat over me. What are you talking about? Sometimes the devil be staying on you, and he be talking about, I don't know why you praising God. I took your money. I don't know you making them laps around the church for doing all that shouting. I just wore your mind and your body out. Y'all ain't even talked to each other up in that house in over 3 weeks. He, I don't know why you're going up. I don't know why you're going to IDF. He's gloating over you. But this is what Michael said that you can do to the devil. He says, don't gloat over me, my enemy. What did he say? Though I have fallen, I will arise. Say that. I will arise. Come on, say it with some conviction. I will arise. Do not gloat over me. When you start gloating over me, you're giving me my strength back. You're giving me my will back. You're making me want to fight you by standing. You'd have been better off just hitting and knocking me down and running. But if you stand over me, I'm going to get some power from on high. Say, I will not stay down here. Say, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. That's somebody's word right now. You're in a dark place in your life. You're almost out, but the Lord is going to be your light. The Lord is going to shine into that situation. If you do not give up, if you do not give in, if you don't lose your praise, if you don't lose your shout, if you don't lose the clapping of your hand, jump to your feet and give the Lord a praise. Let the devil know, stop gloating over me. I'm not going to sit here with my hands, my head down. Stop gloating over me. Stop gloating over me. I'm not going to sit here and let my mind just wander with all these demonic, pessimistic thoughts. Stop gloating over me. I may be down, but I'm going to get up. Good shot. Sometimes you have to tell them good shot, but I'm still getting up. Sit down. Sometimes you got to tell the devil that was a good shot. I'm still getting up. Acknowledge that he ain't as weak as you think he is, but you're not as weak as he think you are. Acknowledge that he's not as weak as you thought he was, but you're not as weak as he thinks you are. And you're the stronger one. Why? Because greater is he that's in you. Go to Hebrews 10. Any questions are coming. I'll let you say something now. We're almost done. Soldier up. Do what you're supposed to do spiritually. Get the can-do mindset. Man, it's interesting. Sometimes, I was still in, I was getting out. But I was thinking, man, people, some things are the same, but people are not being trained the same. And you tell a soldier to do something, you would tell a soldier to do something, and they come back 50 times to tell you why they couldn't get it done. And you know what I would do, Sister Sandra? I send them out 51 times. They just make an excuse. The vehicle was locked. I didn't have the key. Nobody got the key. Do the arms room got bolt cutters? You're going to sabotage the whole mission over a $3 lock? Tell somebody, cut the lock off. Cut the lock off of your mind. Cut the lock off of your mouth. Cut the lock off of your hands. Give the Lord what's due unto him. But I'm not going to sabotage the whole plan because the scenario wasn't perfect. No scenario in life is going to be perfect. You have to play the cards you're being dealt. You have to figure out wherever you at life. God didn't put me down here to lose, so my solution got to be somewhere near. God did not put you down here to lose. Your solution got to be somewhere near. Most of the time, you ain't got to run all over the planet looking for it. You just got to look. Sometimes you ain't got to look far. You just need to look. Like you want a solution. Do you want a solution? Mindset is important. Hebrews 10. You can't let nothing beat you down. I'm not saying, you know, you can't never be beat down. I'm just saying you can't let it beat you down. You got to resist. You know, there's some really fantastic stories. Heroism, they call it. People in war. Vietnam and various places, get captured. They would get captured. And one of the things that they don't do it now, I don't think, they tell you, you keep resisting. You keep looking for a way to escape. You look for weaknesses. You try to befriend. You become a frenemy to your enemy so that they'll let their guard down. The whole time, you know that I'm just looking for a way to get out of here. You resist, meaning that I'm not going to let you beat me down. You don't give me food, but once a month, I'm going to save some. Once a week, I'm going to save some. I'm going to cut it up. And if they don't search for it, I'm going to eat a little bit every day. I'm going to find the will to resist. I'm not going to curse the flag. I'm not going to curse my country. I'm going to resist with everything within me. I'm not going to give up. Watch this. Even if it costs me death, I'm going to resist to the end. I'm not going to stay a prisoner of war until I die when I had strength to resist and try to get away. And what I'm noticing, not say not this church, people are willing to stay the prisoner of the enemy until they die rather than resist him. They will let him beat them down, say, but we're not going to get beat down. What we're going to do? We're going to soldier up. We're going to tap into our spiritual prowess, our training. A different mindset. Hebrews 10 and 5 gives us a good place. He says, cast not away thy confidence. Cast not away thy confidence. Faith will never leave you. You have to withdraw from it. I'm pausing for effect. My faith ain't as strong as it used to. Faith never withdraws from you. You have to cast it away. You have to throw it down, put it down, walk away from it. The same faith that gave some of you children can give you a house. Can give you a happy marriage. The same faith that got you saved can get you delivered. The same faith that got you delivered can help you forgive people, can help you throw away grudges. Faith doesn't withdraw from you. You got to cast it away. All the stuff that God done, and he's willing to do more. He says, don't cast it away. It hath great recompense of reward. Now watch this. This word hath, H-A-T-H, when you look this up, it means this. Hath means it's as good as having it in your hands. It hath great. So if you have not cast your confidence and your faith away, it has, or have, we say has, it's a H-A-T-H, it's as good as having it in your hands. Whatever God has promised you and you've caught a glimpse of it, it's as good as having it. You have it already. If you can find the promise in the Bible, you have, or it's as good as having it. Why? Because God is good on his word. He's not some liar. He is not some person that promises above his ability. That's why he asked the question, or they asked the question in Genesis, is there anything too hard for God? God told him, by this time next year, Sarah gonna be pregnant. Sarah laughed. He asked them, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No, because if God has said it, you have it. It's as good as having it. Tell somebody, if God said it, you already got it. Say, if God said it, you already got it. You got the job. And if you ain't got that job, you got a job. You got the business. You got the house. You got the anointing. You got a calling. If God said it, you already got it. Say, it's as good as having it. God is good on his word. You don't let facts dictate what God has said you already have, because if God said it, you already have it. It's as good as having it already. If God tell you he's going to give it to you tomorrow, if you're believing today, you already got it. We put more faith in Amazon telling you it's 3 days, it's 24 hours. Say, I already got it three times. He said, tell some people tonight, some people in some stubborn situations with nothing, things ain't seeming to go right for you. He said to encourage you that even after natural solutions stop working, he said he's going to continue to work in a supernatural way in your life. Meaning that if you don't have no natural solution, God's still going to come through. If you don't see no way, sometimes you ain't seeing no way because there ain't no way. God's still going to come through. Because we serve a God who can do what? Anything. Say, all things are possible. So I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm not going to cast it aside. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to use what my daddy gave me. He says, for you have need of patience. What did he say? He said, I need, or you need. Oh, that, mind your own business. Say, what did he say? He said, I have need of patience. That's the problem. You're always trying to put your stuff off on somebody else. What did he say? For I have need. You have need. Either way, he's talking about all of us. Other times where you need to be patient. Hey, put up Hebrews 2 and verse, Habakkuk 2 and 3. There are times when you just got to be patient. We don't like to be patient. We want it now. God gave you time to change. Didn't he? Why are we so rough with other people? Everybody looking around, looking down. Tell somebody to say, soldier up. Ain't no discharge on the ground. You in God's army. God was patient with you. Ain't you glad? Anybody glad? Because some of you are some deep stuff. And you couple stuff from getting busted up. Right? If people had their way. But God ain't like that. He's patient with us. And even when we ain't doing nothing right, he's still kind to us. Still show up loving, still tap you and wake you and love up on you. What did Habakkuk say? He says, for your vision is just for an appointed time, but at the end it's going to speak. It ain't going to lie. Say, it ain't going to lie. Because God has said it, it's as good as having it. Whatever God done promised you, if it's really from God, you ain't got to be tripping about it. You're going to have it. You're going to be it. It's going to happen for you. He says, and it won't lie, though it tarry. You got to wait sometime. You got to wait for it because it's going to surely come. I'm telling some people tonight, you right at the edge of a breakthrough, it's going to surely come. You right there at the break of a reversal, it's going to surely come. Why? Because God has said it. You still got to gird yourself up under it and keep going through what you got to go through to get it. But God has said it. And if God said it, that settles it. Notice I didn't say if God said it and we believe it, that settles it. You don't have to believe it sometime. If God said it, it's going to happen. Go to James 5 and 7. You got to live your life above negativity and negative people sometimes. Everybody don't want you to succeed, even people you serve with. Everybody don't want to see you succeed, even people you sleep with. Do you know, you have no idea how many spouses are jealous of their spouse. You mean to tell me a man could be jealous of his wife or a wife can be jealous of her husband? Yes! You start doing good in God, they struggling, they want to pull you back. Rather than saying, keep going, baby. If you find the strength, come back and get me. But you just keep on going. No, they want to pull you back. They want to get you into some slop can with them again. You doing good in an educational standpoint. They don't, why are you taking all these classes? Because I got to get the degree, person. That's why I'm taking the classes. Well, you've been ignoring me all night long. Have you ever seen anybody else talk to you when they was taking a test? I'm taking a test. I'm kidding. But they don't want to see you succeed. Family members, sisters don't want to see, they be, oh, I just, they don't. You should want to see them succeed though. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, until the Lord, the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. For he had long patience for it until he received the early in the latter rain. You have to have patience. God is waiting on specific things to show up before he moves sometime, and they got to be in place. So the point, if you're going to do God's will, this is my point, it's going to take more than talent. As a matter of fact, when you go back, Jesus talked about him giving talents to various people, and then the ones who didn't do nothing with their talent, he took it back from them. And what did he do with it? He gave it to somebody else, meaning whatever you don't want to do for the kingdom, God will take it and give it to somebody who will do it. I'm just, let me keep reading. What did I say? James 5. Okay, go back to Hebrews 10. Let me finish this. He starts talking, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come. But sometimes you got to have patience before your promise. Say patience before the promise. The promise sometimes is the motivator to keep us going. But you don't always get the promise right out the chute. He that shall come will come. He won't tarry. Why? Now the just live by what? If the just shrink back or draw back, he said, my pleasure has what? No, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back or shrink back unto perdition, but of those that believe to the saving of the soul. Go to Luke 21. I think I'm going to stop right here, but I really want to share this piece. Can y'all take a minute? Mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, you will need all in operation in the last hours to be a good soldier. You cannot be an emotion-led person all the time. You, any area mentally that you're weak in, you have to challenge yourself to develop that area. Meaning that be things that you don't want to do that burden you down. You have to remind yourself, I'm a soldier. Oh, I'm going to do it anyway. Any area that you're weak to, you have to develop it. Stop saying, I can't do this. Or stop using phrases like, every time this happens in my life, I always fall into this. Say, not this time. Say, not this time. I'm a soldier. See, part of it, basic training, we take them, we used to, like I'm talking like I'm a drill sergeant. We would take them to these confident courses. You make them go up in this tower. They don't want to rappel off of it. Some of them holding on to the thing and holding on to you. You know what you do, Jasmine? Push them. They ain't going to be hurt. They going to scream. And then when they hit the bottom, because they didn't jump on their own, you make them come back to the top. And they scream. You know what you do? Push them. Still don't count. The process doesn't stop until you face the mental weakness and jump on your own. You got a rope. You got people holding you. You got people encouraging you. Say, soldier up. Some of you got to jump into the things God wants you to do. He's been pushing you. He's been encouraging you. Now it's time for you to do it on your own. You're created in God's image. There's nothing weak about you. That's the devil in trying to indoctrinate your mind. You're strong in all areas. You can do all things what? Through Christ who strengthens you. Shout, soldier up. You can let yourself talk you out of it. You can let other weak people talk you out of it. You can let Christians who don't want what you want in this life talk you out of it. But you different. You a soldier. You've been made for this. I didn't know that I was made to be a real soldier for real. I thought I was going to be an NBA player, but I ain't grown no more. And I couldn't shoot. Couldn't dribble. I could do most of that stuff, but I didn't grow no more. I had to change course. So I was going to school to play ball. So I'm over there and them boys they practicing. I'm playing hard. I ain't got no business over here. Y'all practicing. And I'm playing like it's a state championship game. I'm out my lead. I got to go make some money. So I want to be a highway patrolman. And then they let people get that dark tent. You can't see in there. They start murdering highway patrolmen on 55. I said, this ain't for me. And then the Lord said, this is for you. And I rejected a part of my purpose, well, a part of his will for a long time. I hated it. And then I got to a point to where it clicked that this was God's doing. And then I started to embrace it. And when I started to embrace it, then he started to elevate me to where he had already purposed for my life in the first place. Once you embrace God's will for your life, he'll take you where you're really supposed to be. You got to embrace it. But this word, Jesus says, for I give you a mouth of wisdom. Your adversaries will not be able to gainsay or resist it. Meaning you could bind the devil. You can prophesy your way out of places. You can do all my say, open your mouth and say something. You shall be betrayed by your parents. Who said this? My mom and daddy, my mom. He said, Jesus said you'd be betrayed by both parents, brethren. I know all this stuff happened because the truth of it is, I won't let people talk about their parents. I don't care what they did. Well, it ain't that I don't care what they did. I'm simply saying you can't never get the healing or the release you want until you stop talking about that. Cause you're not 10 no more. You're 64. So when kids come and they got all these issues and they be talking about what their parents didn't give them and, you know, they ate cottage cheese 7 days a week. Well, you ate. You didn't die. Amen or oh my. I won't deal with that. Because at some point they got to release them from that so that they can get their own healing. Say soldier up. Now, I know counselors tell you different. That's why you got to keep seeing them all the time. Because their solution ain't never deemed to heal you. It's to keep swiping your card. What I'm telling you is that until you forgive them and move on with your life, there's nothing that can really be done for you in that area. Now you go listen to them and you break the books out and you keep listening to them and you're going to keep, but I won't let people talk about their parents to me. You know why? It kills a blessing in your life. What blessing is that? Long life. Look this way, please. What blessing does it kill? Look at your neighbor and say, don't let your counselor kill you. Do it God's way. Don't let your counselor kill you before your time. Do it God's way. Kinfolk, brethren, some going to call be put to death. Jesus said this. This is why I want to go in verse 19. He says, in your patience, possess your soul. What are you talking about? This word possession is P-O-S-S-I-D-E-O. Compound word, P-O means on. And S-C-D-O is to sit. Now, this is a great revelation. You got to hear it. He's saying when all these things are happening, you have to sit on your soul. You got to control your mind. You got to control your thought life. You have to, I didn't say this, possess your soul. He's saying sit on your soul. Make your soul be still. Make your soul be under your control. So you can submit it to me. And when you make your soul, tell somebody to say, sit on your soul. You got to make it rest. I've never seen as many people who possibly had the Holy Ghost just walk the floor all night long for no reason. It'll make you be quiet. Sit on your soul. It'll make it obey. It'll make you not deal with anxiety and stress in your life. You got to sit on your soul. You got to take control. You got to possess your soul and make it come up under the will of God. That's somebody's word right there. And I'm going to end right there. Tell somebody, say, sit on your soul. If you sit on your soul and make it rest, your life will start to become easy to you. Your life will become, you'll develop the mindset of no matter what the situation you're in, you'll develop the mindset, it's going to be all right. That's your word right there. It's going to be all right. Sit on your soul. Don't let your soul move you into a panic. We used to say this all the time in the military. I don't want no scared person on my team. I don't want them. I'll go by myself. One of my battle buddies, she was gangster. She from them islands. She a gangster. They tried to put out the army because she was in Iraq, and she was an E7 at the time. And they got them IEDs out there. They'll kill you. and the master sergeant, first sergeant, I guess he don't know how to read the map. Or he done lost his place. And he out there panicking. All the soldiers around him panicking. I mean, he panicking and the soldiers. Now the soldiers up in the roar. And she said, let me take over. He said, no, I got it. She said, let me take over. He don't know what you're doing. And she took her rifle. This is a true story. And she butt-stroked him in the face and knocked him out and took the command. She gangster. And took command of the patrol and got them back. They all lived. But the point is, you don't want a scared person on your team because they'll get everybody killed. You don't want a person that's afraid of the devil on your prayer team. they'll get y'all all spiritually killed. Somebody's head starts spinning around in church. You don't want that person. You don't want, if that person take off and run out the door, you know, let them go. Say, take control of the situation. It's going to be all right. You got to think different. We're standing. You got to think different. You got to act different. You got to believe you somebody in God. You got to know that if you and God touch it, it's going to be okay. Some of you need to learn how to just walk into some places because you with God and God is with you. There's sometimes you should just walk in and cross your legs and say, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. You ain't got to say it out of your mouth. Your posture going to demonstrate to people, I'm in charge. If God is for you, what? If God is for you, who can be against you? Nobody can stop you. Give three people a high five. Say, nobody can stop you. Or me either. Hey, but do me a favor. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. On Wednesdays, when you exhausted and you don't want to be here, don't come up in here. Don't come. Watch it when you relaxed or not at all. Now, why would I say that? Huh? That same thing will get on other people. You ever seen somebody do this to you? Ah. What you do? Ah. That sleep demon is contagious. Just watch it on your own. Now, know that I am going to talk about you. I'm just telling you. See, I'm a soldier. I make no excuses. My life is no more difficult than yours. I do no more on a daily basis than you do. Please excuse me. Please accept my apology for thinking that my life is more intense than yours. Why you look at me like that? We don't even got to clap your head. You ain't be doing no more than nobody else. It's 8:30. We're going to get home by 8:45. And some of you are not even going to bed till 1 o'clock. But when I drop my daughter-in-law off, went by my little back way, my Caucasian brothers wasn't even getting let out to 9:30. And then we wonder why they got 150 cars in the parking lot. Sometimes people want what we think we want. But we ain't willing to do what they do. Because talk is cheap. 200 cars on a Wednesday service. And it's 9:30 and they just getting let out. Are you hungry? Well, I'll let you eat at 4. You should all get you something. Some of you been eating all day. You so full you don't know what to do. That's why you so sleepy. You so full. Father, bless your people. Keep them. Watch over them. Let them tap into inner strength. Let them tap into the Holy Ghost. let them not be ruled by demonic darkness, pessimistic spirits that would tell them they can't. Let them not be ruled by spirits that would tell them there is no other way and that they've done all that they can do. Holy Spirit, impart supernatural concepts, ideas, supernatural strengths that would empower your people to not only quote being an overcomer, but live the lives spiritually of being overcomers. Let them not be deceived by natural things in this life that would snatch their attention, govern our minds, govern our souls, govern our spirits like never before. And Father, we give you all praise, glory, and honor. I give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Now give him a good praise. Come on, give him about 10 seconds. You got 10 seconds in you. You got 10 seconds in you. Get your strength back. If you in that storm, you just a couple steps away. Praise your way right on out of it. You just a couple steps away from it. Praise your way right on out. Don't be overcome by nothing. You cannot be overcome by nothing in this hour. You have to give up. That's the only way you're going to lose in this hour is if you give up. If you do not quit, you will win. Do not measure yourself against other people. They're not suffering because they are not bothering the devil. They're not being persecuted because they are not disrupting. They don't challenge anything. They have no standards. Do not measure yourself up against these people. They are deceivers. You're going through some of you because your life is pure. He's trying to pull you back into some thing. Say, but I ain't falling for it. Amen. Love them by five people. Tell them, say something good gonna happen to you.